And welcome. You are listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM. This is the weekly program covering art and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner. Alongside here is Esther Golden of The Nest from Michigan City. We're your hosts for Art on the Air. We'd like to thank our 2018 underwriters for Art on the Air, Valpo University's Brower Museum, and of course, our landlord, Walt Breitinger. If you'd like to find out more about leasing space in our great historic building here right along the way, call 219-462-5821. That's 219-462-5821. And thank you for your generous support. We'd also like to thank Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager and engineer on our show. And if you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts-related event, exhibit, or if you appear as an artist, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Our program is also rebroadcast on Monday from 5 o'clock, and of course, we always stream live at WVLP.org. And now we're going to hit this week's event calendar, and it's chock full of great stuff here. First, we'll start with Porter County, Valparaiso University Center for the Arts, Brower Museum. Through December 9th is the photography of David Robert Austin still going up. We ended up in Australia, lived honored dreams imagined, and that's based on a true story. Asher Yates will be in the Strimview Gallery. This is a brand new exhibit on the second floor, and there'll be an artist reception actually on Wednesday, November 9th from 5 to 7. And this is part of a larger veterans exhibit at Valpo University campus. Krista Steinke's Good Luck with the Sun and Other Works, Another Beautiful Day in Paradise, Nebraska, continues through November 5th, so you can still catch that exhibit. It's about the sense of place, specifically Nebraska, and several artists have done creative work to research about the state. The Ellen Fermi Gallery, and that's on US 12 in Beverly Shores. David Larson exhibit continues there. He's a Dunes photographer. Chesterton Art Center, November exhibit, will be host the Area Art Association member exhibit. And that opens on the 4th, coming up right here, November 4th. That's a Sunday through the 30th. There'll be an artist reception on Sunday, November 4th, 2 to 4. Public is invited. The gallery hours are Monday through Friday, 11 to 4, and Saturday, 11 to 2. And it's located 115 South 4th Street in Chesterton. And they also offer Chesterton Art Center a wide variety of classes. And so go to chestertonart.com for more information. Uptown and Roots, the Uptown November exhibit, Liz in the Uptown Cafe, hosting a reception for the artist on November 3rd. So that's tomorrow. Of course, if you're listening to the Monday rebroadcast, you'll miss it. 3 to 5 p.m., you can talk about our stunning pieces and everything. So that's what we have in Porter County. We're going to move to LaPorte County, and Esther has a whole wide range of things. Of course, the one thing in LaPorte County that goes on First Fridays is First Friday. So take it away.
Yay for First Friday. We love them. So at the Lubesnik Center for the Arts, there is the exhibit Waiting for a Sign, and explores the use of signage, text, and iconographic visual images and symbols in the work of 8 contemporary artists in the Heinemann, Brinca, Cross, and Susan Block galleries. It opens October 20th through January 12th. Opening reception is tonight from 5 to 8 p.m. November 2nd. Curator-led gallery tour on Saturday, November 10th from 11 a.m. to noon. And they have their holiday artisan market member and volunteer appreciation party on Friday, November 16th at 5:30 to 7:30. There'll be a 10% discount on all items with gift bagging and author signing of children's books by Connie Castle and James Dworkin, a cash bar, hors d'oeuvres, awards, and shopping. Southern Shore Art Association. November and December is their holiday exhibit, The Gift of Art. It will open November 2nd tonight on First Friday. The gallery is located at 724 Franklin Street in Michigan City. For more information, please visit their website, southernshoreartassociation.com, or visit the SSAA Facebook page. The SFC Gallery at 607 Franklin Street in Michigan City is exhibiting the work of watercolor artist Kathy Losrothburn for the month of November. Bling Contemporary Art at 1709 Franklin Street is exhibiting new work, paintings and drawings and sculptures by Rick Lang and Suzanne Cohen Lang. Rising Phoenix Gallery at 2803 South Franklin Street. Their exhibit is Playing in the Mud Ceramics. It's opening First Friday tonight, November 2nd. And this exhibit showcases the work of talented local ceramic artists. Make this your chance to meet these incredible artists who are able to change the very earth we stand on into objects of beauty and functionality. The Nest is located at 803 Franklin Street and is currently exhibiting the abstract paintings of David Kreiner and the diorama sculptures and geometric paintings of Margie Kreiner through November 18th. And running concurrently every first and third Monday, the Michigan City Toastmasters meets at 6:15 p.m. So this month it would be the 5th and the 19th. Meditation Circle is every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. with Nikki Knoffs, and every Friday at 6 p.m. is Oil Painting with Michelle Weiser. Plus, there's an eclectic array of artisan crafted goods as well. And you can view the Nest events on Facebook, The Nest Michigan City, or pop@gmail.com on that and send us an email. Hours are by appointment, event, or chance. Now, in Michigan City, on November 3rd, there's the Veterans Day Breakfast and Parade. The 2018 LaPorte County Veterans Breakfast will be from 8 to 11 a.m. Saturday, November 3rd at the DAV Chapter 23 at 2301 Ohio Street in Michigan City. Veterans, active duty personnel, police, fire, EMS, and all emergency management personnel are invited to eat for free. All others are asked to pay $5. The event will pay tribute to LaPorte County Gold Star families. The annual Veterans Day Parade will kick off at noon from 10th and Franklin Street and continue north on Franklin to 4th Street. It's a great parade. Please come out and wave those flags. And right after is the Fall Festival in the Uptown Arts District. The businesses in the Uptown Arts District are hosting a fall festival featuring free games, wagon rides, a photo booth, live music, and more for families to enjoy after the Veterans Day Parade on November 3rd. It will also serve as a cans good and coat drive to donate to Stepping Stone Shelter for women. Donors will get a raffle ticket to win a basket put together by the businesses in the Uptown Arts District. The Fall Festival will also include a farmer's market, an art maze, and more, starting at noon after the parade. Now let's hear about Lake County's events.
Thank you so much, Esther. Yeah, a lot of things happening out in LaPorte County. Oh, my gosh. That Nest is awful busy, too. That's Esther's Nest, actually. So moving on, South Shore Arts. The 75th Annual Salon Show is wrapping up on November 4th. So if you haven't been to the Bachman Gallery there, located in the Center for Visual and Performing Arts, my old stomping grounds, go ahead and take a look. There's a lot of great work, but it's only up through November 4th. And then in the Atrium Gallery, we have Ori Schaefer, The Nature of the Abstract, and that's still running through November 25th. At the Southern Shore Arts Crown Point Branch, and that's at 611 North Indiana Avenue in Crown Point, Mike Barrett Kolowski's Wildscapes, and that continues all the way through January 5th, 2019. And another allied gallery is the Cafe Fresco, and that's in Crown Point also on 1 North Court Street. Gifts from Nature, Pagine Moore, through the end of the month, she'll be doing things there. 119th Street Artists, the Oliver Brown Juried Exhibit will start November 26th through January 16th at Cornerstone Gallery. They have an opening reception on November 30th from 6 to 9 at 119th Street, New York Avenue in Whiting. That's in the back of the Centier Bank, and the great thing about that particular gallery, it's open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and Saturday, 9 to 12. Details are at the 119th Street Artist's Facebook page or same on their webpage. Studio 659, also in Whiting, are doing a children's art exhibit and is open to artists who are 18 and under in any medium. Each artist will enter up to 3 pieces, so this is actually a call for art at this time, and has to be completed in the last 2 years or so, not previously shown at Studio 659. Members of Studio 659 may submit without fees. Non-members must pay a non-refundable $5 fee. Submissions are due Monday, November 12th, 2018. Any questions about that, go to artcouncil659@gmail.com. That's artcouncil659@gmail.com. And you can visit Studio 659 at 1413 119th Street, right in downtown Whiting there. They're open Thursday and Friday from 12 to 7 and Saturday 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Studio659.org. Miller Beach Arts District, Creative District, has their third annual community plan update. And they're doing lots of viable things there. in the Miller area. That'll be on Saturday, November 3rd, from 2 to 4 p.m., the Marshall Gardner Center for the Arts. And it's on 540 South Lake Street in Miller section of Gary. Their gallery hours, by the way, are Thursdays and Fridays, 12 to 6, and Saturdays, 6 to 9, and Sundays, 1 to 4, millerbeach.org. And that's what we have going on in Lake County. We'd like to remind you that if you'd like to get something on the air, please go to artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. We happy to get your art event on the air here, things like that. And remember, this program will be rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m. streaming live, wvlp.org. And also, we are also coming up to the time that we need underwriting support. So if you're interested in underwriting the show or underwriting any of the things that we do here at WVLP, please contact us and our station manager, Greg Kovach, or one of the other people will be happy to talk you through the process. We are a community radio station, and as such, we need your support to keep on the air to bring you things like Art on the Air and the other great programs we have. So that brings us to our guest who just made it into the studio, someone who I know. She's somehow we got her in the wrong direction of the highway, but we got her here. She's an oil artist who does kind of work in the old master style along with portraits, florals, and personally I know her because we served together on the Southern Shore Arts Association, of which she's president, the new Revitalize. So we're going to talk about her work and everything like Dana DeBaggio. We welcome you here for Art on the Air.
Dana DeBaggio.
Did I say it wrong? You know, I don't think I've ever heard your name pronounced, so that's why.
That's okay.
So great to have you here. Yeah, there you go. And so we're going to talk a little bit about your personal background, how you got to where you are, and then some of your artistic journey, and then we'll switch to the Southern Shore Art Association. So
great. Well, I started painting actually when I was in high school and then continued taking our classes in college and then gave it up for quite a few years. I originally started with casines, and of course you can't even find casines anymore. It was an acrylic-based paint. And then I went into watercolor, and I painted in watercolor for years and years. And someone gave me a sample kit of oils, and I thought, oh, gee, I don't know what to do with these. Well, I played with them and fell in love with them, and I've been with oils ever since. To me, it was much, much easier painting with oil than it was in watercolor.
Watercolor's difficult.
You can cover up your mistakes in oil a whole lot easier than you can with watercolor. So I've been with oils for about 30 years now, actually.
And you've stayed away from. So do you, for fun, do you dig into the watercolors again? Or
no? I still have all of my tubes, you know, like over 100 tubes, but of color. But and still have all the supplies and the brushes and everything. But I just haven't touched them since, you know? It's too bad in a way, but I do love my oil paints.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, and if you ever need something like a portrait commissioned, I know Dana does that also. Well, let's talk a little bit more about your personal background. Where you come from? Did you grow up in Northwest Indiana? Or?
I grew up in Crown Point, Indiana.
Okay.
Yeah. Went to school there and got my knuckles wrapped a few times by the nuns, but that's okay. We all did. Makes you stronger.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right?
Right, exactly. And from there, I did a lot of acting and singing and did some stage work in Chicago and was contracted to form a small group, and we came to Michigan City and opened a supper club there. And so we played for I think two years at the supper club, and singing, dancing, you know, a small group. There were eight of us.
Where was that?
It was in the old Tinker's Dam restaurant building. And it is no more. Now it's a Mexican restaurant. So, but it was an old, wonderful building. And The acoustics were great. We had a great time. It was a great dining room. We filled the place every single weekend. So it was lots of fun. But then from there, I had a job offer out west, and I took the job offer and was a director of sales and marketing for many years in, first of all, I spent a year in Las Vegas, which wasn't my favorite place to live. And after a year, I'd had enough of the heat and the dryness and moved to Colorado, to the mountains of Colorado. I lived in Crested Butte for many, many years, and then moved to Santa Fe for about 3.5 years. From Santa Fe, I missed the Midwest, and I came home.
Okay.
It was so good to come home.
Well, especially this time of year when you see the fall colors, it's almost as good as the East Coast in New England.
It's beautiful, but it's not just that. It's the warmth of the people in the Midwest. You know, everybody is, it's just friendlier here.
When I had shows both at the Center for Performing Arts when I was there and the commercial shows, and we get artists coming in, and they always made that remark about the Midwest, how much more friendly they are, like on the coast or things like that. And they said, you know, you guys seem to always bend over backwards to make things work, you know, where, you know, other places they don't. So
true. And when I lived in Crested Butte, I worked for the mountain, Crested Butte Mountain Resort. I was a marketing and sales director there. And we hired a lot of people every season, every ski season. I mean, thousands of people every ski season. Do you know where most of them came from?
The Midwest.
The Midwest.
Yes.
They zeroed in on the Midwestern work ethic. And that's where most of the people came from.
Wow.
From Michigan, Wisconsin, Indiana, some Illinois. But it was those four states that we had a preponderance of employees.
You know, before we
because of the work ethic.
Sure. Before we move off of your performance, what kind of performances did your group do?
That's like, well, that was going to be my question as well.
Yeah, I want to back up to that because, I've known Dana mostly as a visual artist.
I know. This is like, it's brought a big smile to my face.
I'm being a theater guy, as you well know. I mean, I'm interested in that. So.
Right. Well, our group of eight, it was like a review,
okay.
a supper club review, and all eight of us were dancers and singers, and we had our own piano player, of course, who was so excellent, and we had a one-armed drummer, and he was wonderful, and they were all from Chicago, and they rented a beach house in Sheridan Beach, so it was easy getting back and forth to to Tinker's Dam, and we did mainly Broadway show tunes, and that's what people love to hear when they go out for dinner, you know. So, but also, I mean, I was really, when I was in Crested Butte, I was very, very busy. I started a public radio station there. And because we had no means of informing our local citizens of 900 of anything that was happening or anything that was going on. So it was easy for me to contact the FCC and, you know, get permission and call letters and the whole nine yards. So, but in Crested Butte, I also did a lot of stage work because we had a great place to perform, and it's still going strong. So I did a lot of stage work there, both drama and musical.
Are you still involved in that in any way? Because this is like so new. This is like new knowledge for me about you.
No, but when I moved back here from Santa Fe, I did a lot of work at the Dunes Arts Foundation.
Yes.
Right,
mm-hmm.
And even before, I did a lot of work at the Dunes, and oh gosh, I was in Camelot. I had the lead in Camelot, and
so you were Guinevere.
I was Guinevere.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
What do the simple folk do, right?
What do the simple folk do? Yeah, I loved it. And we had a great cast, and it was just really friendly. And that's when Nora McCalvey was still in charge, you know. And Nora, God rest her soul, was wonderful to everybody. She, you know, cheered us up when we were down, and she, you know, encouraged us. And she was a great director. I miss her.
Well, that's great. You know, that's a whole new aspect of your life that I think we've talked a little bit about that, but I've mostly been telling you about what I've done in theater and never, and you mentioned that a couple times, but yeah, that's a very fascinating background. And it shows kind of how the arts are allied, you know, visual arts and performing arts are very much allied and everything. You're listening to WVLP 103.1 FM, and we're doing Art on the Air, and we're having a wonderful visit here. So, and now you settled back in Northwest Indiana a little bit more. We'll get a little bit more of your personal life and then move on with art and other things.
Well, I've been with Southern Shore Art Association since we started it in 2002, and that's taken up a lot of my time.
Okay.
So I've been doing a lot of, you know, building up the organization and making sure that it runs smoothly, and I'm president again. So
When did you take over that role again?
In May of 2017.
Year. Oh, of 17.
Yeah. Wow. Right. It was there were a few problems. It was kind of falling apart, and you know, so.
So what were the biggest?
Several of us decided, you know, we needed to give some,
bolster it, and
yes, build it up again, make it strong the way it was. And
so what was the biggest challenge doing that? Like, what was your immediate problem that you had to resolve?
Wow. Well, without getting too much into detail, sometimes people take over positions. At times, people take over positions. And rather than having it as a group vote or a group, as a consortium of people who have different ideas, but all ideas are listened to, it wasn't quite that way. It went the opposite way, where we had rather a dictatorial system, and we were losing members, a lot of members. So when that was in our face and it was recognized, we decided, okay, you know, it's time to do something before we lose everything, because our landlord was ready to kick us out the door. So,
don't you think you're stronger because of it now as an organization?
Much more. Mm-hmm. And at every meeting, as Larry knows, Larry is my vice president.
And de facto secretary.
And de facto secretary.
At least I think this month is supposed to end. We finally have the secretary, someone else taking the notes after this.
I know, and I so appreciate
you
doing
it. It's such an organization of such interesting people, and what mm-hmm. I appreciate the most about Southern Shore is that anybody who wants to join can join. There's not a jury process to get in. It's so welcoming, and involves everyone, and that's, I mean, I really appreciate that.
It does. We encourage beginning artists,
yes.
And we do have them, and they do exhibit. We have emerging artists, in other words, those who are familiar with their medium and are just, you know, getting bold enough to exhibit. And then we have some very professional people. Mm. And that includes not just our painting people, but our photographers and our sculptors also.
It makes your shows very interesting mm-hmm. to see all these different levels of entry into the art. I mean, you can see somebody who's extremely accomplished, and then you can see somebody who is just dipping, you know, maybe having their very first exhibit.
Well, and, you know, I think people appreciate that. Not just the people who are members, but people who come in to see the work. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I have seen people develop over the past 10, 15 years, mm-hmm. you know, who came in with, I mean, very beginner skills and who've developed amazingly in watercolor too. So that's, to me, that's very exciting, and that's what we encourage. We encourage people to come in and just try it if they, you know.
Yeah, it's the nurturing aspect that I really like too with what I do. I mean, it's really nice when you are able to give somebody that encouragement.
Right, right.
You know, what's interesting about Southern Shore's model too is that they invest the people that exhibit there is they have to gallery host one of the days during the month. And the idea is that that's not, and also it's one of the least expensive. If you join, it's only $10 to exhibit in a month. Generally, the exhibits are monthly except for November, December, I believe. And I don't think we exhibit in January. But that's actually a bargain compared to what you do with a lot of other galleries where you pay to exhibit. You know, generally, it's a $25, $30 type fee. But the other part of that investment is that they have to actually gallery host. And that gives them an investment in actually being part of the gallery. And that was that your idea, or was that always a part of Southern Shore?
Well, it was. It didn't start out that way.
Okay.
There was just a committee, I mean, this is like 2002, say to about 2004 or five, there was a committee that did it every single month. And some months they'd say, oh, let's forget it. We don't want to do it this month. Well, my thrust to the organization was consistency. You aren't who you are unless you're there. So we decided that we needed to involve more people in the running of the association. So that's why we started, you know, putting different people at the desk and getting people on the board who were truly invested in the arts. And not just dilettantes, so to speak, you know. But, and of course, Larry is one of our, you are one of our most dedicated members and board members. So we really appreciate your work.
Boy, that was, Dana called me and kind of out of the blue because we just met, like, I'll say like on a handshake, we sort of know each other and I exhibited there a couple times and got a call out of the blue because this is when you were in the process of reorganizing the board and the kind of the little trouble thing. And I was still working full time and she said, hey, would you like to be on our board? And showed up the meeting. And next thing I knew, I was also vice president. So,
and you also said you'd only be there for 3 months. But
yeah, she kind of but then having retired from my position as auditorium and theater director, I had a little bit more time. So most of the time I was able to do that. Plus, I love exhibiting there because, you know, it's fun to be part of the First Friday event. You know, and like Esther said, there's such a variety of work. And one thing I'm proud of, though, we don't like to always be a photography show. I know one of our board members are concerned at that, but I spoke not earlier to the Duneland Photography Club, and they have a lot of aspiring photographer/artist, and one of the things I talked about with them is how to exhibit their work, and I went through the whole process of what the proper way was to how to prepare their work for exhibit and everything, and we actually picked up some new people in this Urban Experience Photography exhibit.
We did. We picked up, I believe, 9 new members.
Wow, that's impressive.
It is, you know, for Michigan City and,
sure,
and the region. And of course, I want to stress, too, that we're not just Michigan City. We're the Michiana area. We draw from southern Michigan. We draw from Hanna, Indiana. we draw from many counties around us. So it enhances the flavor of our gallery. And we have a beautiful gallery.
Yes.
It is so pretty. So, and there's always something different. As Larry started to say, we have a different theme every single month. The entire gallery changes over. We find someone to come in and take charge, make sure everything goes well, make sure everybody gets their paperwork. And it's become in a way, it's become like a family that people get to know each other very well and very easily, and everybody is very welcome, and, you know, it's just really taking off, going great now.
And Dana's the mother hen, quite honestly. Many times she has to fill in various areas, and you know, this just speaking from an observation point, you know, making sure that there's treats for First Friday, really even helping the people that are supposed to be in charge of the gallery, actually mothering them through that process. So that's part of your presidential mission, I guess. So
yes.
You're listening to WVLP 103.1 FM, and our underwriters for On the Air, Art on the Air, is Valparaiso University Brower Museum, and our landlord, Walt Breidinger. If you'd like to find out more about leasing space in our historic building, call 219-462-5821. Thank you for your generous support, and thanks to Greg Kovach, our station manager and engineer on our show today. So, you know, we talked about Southern Shore. What's your visions for the future?
Well, it really is. It's always been the same: to grow the gallery, to bring more people in, get more people interested in the arts. I think that our new people, who such as the photographers from the show 2 months ago, and our new painters also, we ask them to commit to coming to First Friday. That's the first Friday of every month, and that is when we open our new exhibit. And I think that they are very impressed with the number of people who come in. And I first found First Friday when I lived in Colorado, when I lived in Boulder. That was my introduction to First Fridays, and I thought, oh, what a great idea this is. You know, you go out and you hit all the galleries on First Friday, a little bit of cheese, a little glass of wine. So I suggested that when I came back here and started with Southern Shore. And now it's a booming First Friday. The sidewalks are crowded. It's tough to find a parking space. Sorry about that. But they are available. And the sidewalks are packed with people coming into the galleries, coming into the restaurants. All of the shops along Franklin Street are open. And it's just a big day, big evening. So when our new people come in, our new painters and new photographers come in and see all the people, they're really pumped by that, you know. And what's interesting, what I find most interesting, is it's not just people running into a gallery, taking a loop around, and leaving. They come and they'll stand and meet friends, meet new people. They'll stand around, sit around, and chat for an hour, hour and a half. So it's like a monthly homecoming, so to speak. And that's when I see a lot of my friends come in on First Friday. And I think it's, don't you think that it's really...
Oh, yeah.
It's warm, welcoming.
Very community-oriented and everything, and which is part of that whole uptown Franklin Arts District feeling, which, you know, the Nest is part of, and all these other little art galleries and things up and down the street. Yeah, there's quite a buzz. And if you haven't been there to Michigan City, Friday night is when
tonight's
it is.
Tonight's the night.
Tonight's the night. Tonight's so if you're listening to the show on Monday.
Monday, right. Yeah, it's not the night.
But then you can go to the next First Friday, because every First Friday, I think they stop First Fridays in January and February. They don't have them then.
No, we have them all year.
Okay.
Year round.
Yes. Okay. Well, you have them, and so you can come in and enjoy. You know, if it's all warm, cold outside, you can come in and warm up and see the great art. And it's different and everything. What are some of the, I know we've hosted some of the other, like other art groups in there. Tell us a bit about some of those.
Well, this past summer, we hosted the Duneland Plein Air Painters.
And do our people know what plein air means?
Plein air means painting outdoors.
That doesn't mean painting the side of your house, by the way. This is actually
right.
Painting.
This is
artistic.
Painting.
It was quite. They actually caused quite a bit of excitement in Michigan City as they set up their
set up to paint within the community, and mm-hmm. we were getting all messages, oh, there's somebody in front of the church, and there's somebody painting here. So it was really, they're quite an exciting group.
Right, you know, and it's a big group now. It started with just very few, and
just
now
a handful.
It's, I think they have over 50 members. So, but we hosted them. They were in our gallery, and it always draws a huge crowd. The Doonan Plein Air painters are very dedicated. They go out in the worst weather, in the spring, summer, and fall, and paint. And let's see, who else have we hosted? Well, for several years, we worked with people from the Indiana State Prison. And the Native American, inmates, or I think there's a nicer word I could use, but at any rate, the fellows who are there, who are Native American, have their own group. And what they do is they make interesting leather works. They paint beautifully. All sorts of jewelry that they made, and we have hosted them for the past 3 to 4 years, and we call it our Native American exhibit, of course. And so they have been with us. Now, I believe that with the new warden, they might not be continuing. We'll see about that. We're still working on
but
that.
But it's a great outreach, you know, for, it's like a missional outreach.
It's, yeah, very much so.
And then in March, I know that Susan Block started the women's exhibit, and you didn't have to be a woman, but the subject had to be about a woman. Is that still continuing as well?
No, our schedule became so crowded with people, you know, having ideas and wanting to do specific exhibits, specific shows, that we had to let that go. Mm. And sometimes you can take an absolutely fabulous idea and it works until it doesn't anymore.
Yeah, it's so true.
You know, that people get tired of it or they get bored with it. And we don't have that many figurative painters, to be honest with you. Or we don't really have that many people who do portraits and that sort of thing. So, but you're right, as long as it had some kind of a woman-related theme, it was
in the show
worthy of entry.
Yeah.
Right.
They were great shows.
Right. Yeah, there were. And then, of course, every year we have the all-painting show. No photography, just all painting. Doesn't matter what medium you use, but it's all painting. And people really come out for that. And then, of course, Larry knows we have the all-photography show, usually early fall, September, October.
Right.
And that always brings a lot of people in, and we have some tremendous photographers, really good photographers. Larry, of course, is one of them. Tom and Kathleen Hocker from St. John, Indiana. Kathleen is now on the board also, and they are fabulous. And Tom taught photography for many, many years. So we're going to be pulling him in for some talks coming in the new year.
Do you work with George Kessel at all?
No.
No?
No, that's we used
good,
to. George, he is so busy.
Yes, he is.
He is a very busy boy. So, but we used to. We used to work with George and Connie, but they've gotten really busy. And so we're not working with him anymore. And although we'd love to have him back, you know, just to exhibit.
Reaching out to George.
Well,
I know they're busy with, because I recently joined, you know, and being the kind of guy I am, I joined a lot of these organizations. They're busy with Area Arts Association from Lebesnik, so they're busy with that. But he also teaches in Illinois, teaches photography, so he's pretty much busy with that college level. And besides, and I know he teaches a class at Chester Arts Center and different places, so yeah, so they are very busy. So I know you were, you got in your bio that you are a stone's throw away from Lake Michigan. So where is that? I mean, not specific, we don't know an address, but just generally.
Michiana Shores.
Ah, there you go.
It's in Michiana Shores.
Can you see the lake from your house?
No, but I can hear it.
Well, there you go.
And the past couple of evenings, it's been roaring. But, yeah, I've been there for, what, 17 years now.
So do you paint at home or do you have a studio?
I paint at home. I like painting at home. I have
it's a nice way to unwind.
Right. I have a really, really big kitchen. So I paint in a corner of my kitchen, plus the fact I have lots of good light there, and there's good cross ventilation, and that's very important to me. I also teach art. I also teach oil painting, actually. And it's more in the traditional, I teach more of a traditional method, which to me speaks of Rembrandt and, you know, light and shadow.
Which is very prominent in your work. I mean, light is...
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it is.
Right. But...
So do you, I saw you teaching it... in Long Beach, is that where you're? Is that where you hold your classes generally?
It's at the old Long Beach School, which is now called the Long Beach Community Center, and I teach in the room where my sons went to fourth grade. So it's their fourth grade.
And how
classroom.
Does somebody get in touch with you to do that? Do you have them regularly? Is it? How would they find out about it?
I taught up until this past spring, and then I took a hiatus. Because I knew the summer was going to be very, very busy with Southern Shore. And but I'm going to start classes up again, likely in early December. And we'll skip the holidays and then go into January. And the classes are usually 6 weeks long. Each class is around 2.5 hours. And... I teach a very, very, very safe method of oil painting. I always bring in a big box of vinyl gloves because I insist that my students wear vinyl gloves before they touch a paintbrush or a tube of paint. So I'm very safety-oriented. I've lost a couple of friends in Colorado due to, you know, practices that weren't healthy for them. I mean, and even you can even look to Bob Ross, the famous oil painter who used to do, they still run his programs, but where he would dip his brush into a medium and then flick it all around the room. And I just cringe watching that. But so I'm... Really, I really zone in on the safety aspect of it, and no one in any of my classes has to worry about, you know, damaging their lungs by teaching them early on in class. This is what you do, this is what you don't do.
Yes, and terpenoid has helped a lot too, you know, just like cutting the odor down from...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If someone wanted to take classes, would you want them, is there an email they can contact you at?
Yes, actually. My email is D, as in Dana, D2211@comcast.net.
So D2211 at comcast.net. If you're interested in taking classes from Dana, it might be a great way that she does that. Besides, that's her personal artist hat, as well as being president of the Southern Shore Arts Association and the whole business that goes around there. I know one thing, that, and I think maybe you instituted, or at least the board did since I was there, is the featured artist. So talk about that with Southern Shore.
Well, we have the wall right at the front of the gallery, big wall. And what we try to do is we try to find someone who wants to be our featured artist for the month. It's the first thing you see when you come in, and it has the nameplate above it. And for the wall, we have decided recently that instead of just having one person be the featured artist, they could bring in a sidekick. So two people could be the featured artists, and naturally they'd want, you know, some kind of cohesion between, you know, the art. But then again, I'm also thinking that it's always fun to do something like just a wild abstract expressionist with a very traditional, say, like the work that I do. But we do that, and there's a fee for that. And we talked about the fee at our last board meeting, so I don't want to, you know, I don't want to say what it is right now, but it's very reasonable, and it gives you a lot of attention, and there's usually with the featured artists, we also promote them heavily. I also write the palette. The palette is our monthly newsletter.
Very well, by the way. I was going to bring it up. It's a very wonderful newsletter, and you do an excellent job.
Thank you.
And it's Dana's whole thing that she does. She takes care of that entirely
for
herself.
For years and years and years, yes. You've done it brilliantly.
It's been going on for a long time. Although now, with the templates and that sort of thing that have come into being, it's so much easier to do now. It's so much quicker rather than having to rebuild from scratch, you know, which I did, you know, in 2003, 2004. But so I do the palette, and we give as many of our members publicity as we can.
Yes, you do.
And in the middle of the month, I send out call for news. What have you been doing? Where have you been? Anything art-related that you want to brag about, just tell me. I'll rewrite it, and it goes into the palette. And then I also handle the website. And the website is fairly easy to do also now. It didn't used to be, but now it's a whole lot easier.
What's that web address, by the way?
The web address is Southern Shore Art Association. .com. Now, when I first got the name, was able to get the name, SSAA was already taken. SS Art Association was already taken. So I had to go with the whole name. And it's really kind of a bore for people to do, but, you know, that was what was available. So, that, the website, and then also it also transfers over to Facebook. We use Facebook a lot. I'd like to use it a little bit more, but right now I'm having a problem with Facebook, with, you know, their the parameters within which I can post. So, but I also put it into all the Michigan City websites, the other
the Beecher. Laporte.
It's in the Beecher. I mean, we send it to, I must have 45 people on my publicity list, and those are all newspaper people. They're radio people, television people. So everybody gets it.
That's
good. Whether they want it or not.
But that's the way you have to do. You have to do what's called the shotgun approach, and you may not get something in everything all the time, but at least you're getting the word out. You're spreading the gospel of Southern Shore Art Association.
Well, and I do want to give big kudos to the Northwest Indiana Times. they really give us great publicity.
It's true. They really focus on the arts. They're really supportive.
Very much.
Yeah, very much so.
And I'll send them, along with my press releases that I send out once a month, I also always include a photo of a painting or a photo of a photograph, always. And they will publish it in color. I mean, you know, for an art group, that's terrific.
I always, when I worked with, especially like the major newspapers, Times or something, I said, if you don't want to run the story, run my photo with a caption. And I would be happier with that, because most people, they see a story with no visual.
Right.
And it doesn't mean anything, but they see it. And like, again, for my case, it was theater. And I said, get one photo with a caption, dates and things like that, and you got a winner right there. And of course, they were doing them in color. So it's easier to print in color now.
Well, and Tim Shelberg is my contact at the Northwest Indiana Times. Not only does he do a fantastic job of publicizing us, but he calls. He calls me, or he calls the chairman of that month's exhibit to get more information, to get it, you know, right from the horse's mouth, something that he can quote.
Yeah, the News Dispatch used to do that as well. I don't know who the person is there now, but...
I don't either.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, we don't get much from them at all, which is too bad. But, you know, because it's our local paper.
Right.
Darn it, you know?
So I have a personal question. Not too personal though. So you said you painted from a young age. So who was your first art crush, and has that changed through the years? Like, who did you admire? And so did that bring you to it, or did you just naturally want to paint? Because that's not necessarily...
My first art crush was my father.
Your father.
Yeah. Mm. My father drew beautifully. He didn't paint. I bought him paints, but he didn't paint. But he drew. I mean, his drawing skills were excellent. So
you were surrounded by that. And yeah.
Pretty much.
And so how was your art program in school then?
It was the usual, you know, throw some silly putty at the kids,
right,
and tell them to make something.
When you said you started painting early, I wondered, like, what kind of art program were you exposed to that happened? But that was through home, probably, then, right?
It was.
Yeah, that's
right.
Excellent.
Truly, it was. And as far as my art crushes for the past 20 years or so, and even more recently, there are three major ones that I love. One is Ron Francis, Francis. I don't know if either of you know of Ron Francis, mm-hmm. but he draws and paints meticulously. Everything is very refined. However, his subject matter is sometimes off the wall crazy. You look at it at first and you think, oh, gee, that's nice. Wow, he really does a great job. But then you start delving into the subject matter, looking further, and you see that the child who's standing on a fence is around 200 feet above the ground.
Wow.
Wow. Or a child on a skateboard who's taking off down a hill. The hill gets steeper as it gets to the bottom, and then it goes off into the ocean. It's kind of weird stuff like that. I mean, he's just amazing. Or two kids at the edge of a pond who are just playing at the edge of the pond, and swimming up to them in the pond is this enormous alligator. So there's a lot of tension to his paintings. Once you get into them, once you really start looking at them, he's absolutely amazing. In fact, Esther is looking at some of his work
like
right now.
I know, there's like a very misty palette, and they are. It's like very hyper-realistic, but then with a twist.
Right, yeah. With a great big twist. Mm-hmm. My second most favorite is C.W. Mundy. And C.W. lives in Indianapolis. He's an Indiana painter. And he's just terrific. He's an abstract, well, I shouldn't say abstract, impressionist. He's an American impressionist. And most of what he paints is the power of suggestion. He doesn't put in every eyelash, every fingernail. It's all very suggestive. And he's truly a wonder. He's known worldwide. He's, because he's from India, doesn't mean that he's just an Indiana painter. He's very well known and has shows and teaches all over the place. And then my third favorite is Richard Schmid. And everybody knows Richard Schmid. He's amazing. I have the first book that he wrote called Alla Prima. It was over $100, the book. But it's worth every penny and then some. I never thought I'd pay over $100 for an art book, but I did. And Schmid is, again, an impressionist. I've watched him paint, and everything, that, when it's finished, looks very, very loose. However, when you see what he does with his paint and his brushes, every dab that he puts on the canvas means something. He never has to wipe off, and he never has to correct. It's just there, and it stays there. And I watch and think, oh, how is he going to make that work? But he does. He does. It all comes together. It's his vision. That's what I've been working on, and that's what I try to teach my students, a vision. Don't worry about every little stroke. Look further into it and try for, you know, try to get into the art and work at the vision. So
those it's the way to make people connect with it and appreciate it, you know, true. The love you put in.
Yeah.
Well, true. We're just about ready to wrap up. Talk about your current exhibit.
The current exhibit is The Gift of Art. We've done this. This is our third year we're doing The Gift of Art. And it's a November and December exhibit. So the exhibit will stay up for 2 months. It's the only time of the year we have a two-month exhibit. We have all kinds of paintings, watercolor, acrylics, oil. We have beautiful photography. I set the show up, so I'm very familiar with it.
So, Larry, you have some pieces in this,
right?
I have
three pieces in it,
absolutely. They're beautiful.
So is this the $200 and under show?
Oh,
or is
no.
Okay.
No, this is anything goes.
All right.
No, this is anything goes. And we have our gift shop now that is chock full of things for the holidays. And the prices are so silly. They're so low. They're ridiculous. So everything is for sale. We're looking forward to a big group coming in,
and what
sells in November, we replace for December. So the walls are never empty.
Very good. And so that's for tonight is the first Friday. Of course, if you're listening to this on Monday, it's already passed. So where is the...
5 to 8.
5 to 8. And at 724 Franklin Street and part of the Arts District there. So we appreciate you being here today on Art in the Air. I would like to thank, of course, our rebroadcast will be on Monday, 5 o'clock, with your hosts Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, our station manager for WVLP and our engineer for today's shows. If you're, again, interested in being a guest on the show, send us information about your art-related event, appear as an artist, email us at artontheair@gmail.com. Next week, we will have Steve Bensing from the Duneland Photography Organization and right here at 103.1 FM, Art on the Air. Thank you so much, Esther.
Thank you. Thank you, Dana.
Thank you, Dana.
Thank you, Larry, and thank you, Esther. It's good seeing you again.
It's good seeing you as well.